This 4th of July weekend, the United States is confronting unprecedented challenges. A pandemic is raging. A reckoning on racism is boiling over. To mark this moment, our producers asked people across the country what it means to be an American in 2020 and what it means to be free. This is what they found.
Hi, my name is Bao Nguyen. I am living in Los Angeles, California. I'm 36 and I'm a filmmaker. So this year, July 4th, it makes me think about what America is and what America can become and what America's promise is. My parents were Vietnamese war refugees who spent 2 weeks out at sea leaving Vietnam because they felt like they had no future in their former homeland. And I often think about them and their journey when I think about my own American journey in many ways, because without their journey, I wouldn't be here. For me, America is so many things. It's not just a country. It's really this ever-evolving story. We continually help create what its identity is. And I think for the most part, freedom is a social contract. It's not something that's given, it's something that's earned in many ways. Even in a place like America, where people assume that it's given, we've earned our freedom through sacrifice, through bloodshed, through labor and toil of people who have been marginalized, underrepresented. All these communities today that are standing up, they have fought for this freedom, and we continue to fight for this freedom, and I don't think we should take it for granted.
My name is Lucy Hutchins. I live in Downey, Maine. I'm a mother, a grandmother of three, a wife, and a senior software engineer. I was born and raised in Cameroon in West Africa, came to the U.S. in 97, and became U.S. citizen in 2008. As an American, I should feel safe and protected within the American soil from any attack, military, terrorism, or biological. In a country where freedom is the norm, I should not fear to voice my opinion. My skin color, my religion, or my sex orientation should not predict what I can do, what I can achieve, or who I can become. Living in America today is both shameful and hopeful. It is shameful to know that in a country with the biggest defense budget in the world, in a country with the best educational and research institutions, the mortality rate for COVID-19 is higher than it is in countries like South Korea. It is a shame that in a country where freedom is the norm, the likelihood of being mistreated, denied opportunities, or even killed just because you are different is still high. Black Lives Matter is a wake-up call. I see the silent majority joining hands with the movement to demand change. I see hope.
Hello, everyone. My name is Anthony Temez Posel. I'm West Pacific First Nations Cree, Si-Changu Lakota, and Black. I'm located in the city of Chicago, and I'm 21 years old. I'm the vice chair of the Center for Native Americans Youth Advisory Board, as well as work for the 33rd Ward Alderman, Rosana Rodriguez, in the city of Chicago. So freedom to me is something that communities of color and indigenous communities, you know, we're always working towards freedom, but we have, you know, we've never gained it yet, right? But I think indigenous communities more relies on tribal sovereignty and the United States, you know, respecting that. To be an American, I don't think it really means anything to me because I'm part of these sovereign nations and I'm Black, right? So that part of me was forcefully bought over here. And so I wouldn't say that I necessarily celebrate the 4th of July. I have the day off, so I'm definitely going to use it as a time to rest and a time to sit back and recognize my role for, you know, both of my communities, my Black community and my Native community.
So my name is John Rogers. I'm 60, and I'm a coal miner. I used to be a coal miner, at least. I still work for the coal industry, and I'm actually speaking to you from my home here on the farm in Western Kentucky. The coronavirus has been very problematic, obviously, and people's nerves are on edge, and there was a very terrible thing that happened to a man by the police, who we trust, and it was terrible. We've got to come together as a nation, and we can work through this. Our freedoms were given us by generations before us, and it's our responsibility to protect those freedoms and hand it down to our children and our grandchildren. And we can do that without fighting amongst ourselves, if you will. That's my opinion. You know, I lost both my parents last year. Father served in the military, and he told me about freedoms. It's very important for us that have never served to understand what a gift we've been given. We just need to guard the freedoms that we have, because freedom is the right to be able to live your life like you want to. And we as parents need to make sure our children understand that.
And how will history judge all the voices that make up this moment in America? Let's bring in Clay Jenkinson. He's a historian and an expert on Thomas Jefferson and the Founding Fathers, who lives in Bismarck, North Dakota. He joins us on a Skype line. Clay, welcome.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. And when you hear those voices, people from all walks of life across this beautiful and often troubled country, you think what?
You know, listening to them, it's both extremely hopeful and heartbreaking at the same time. Hopeful because they're optimists. They believe in the idea of America. And I've noticed that new Americans or recent Americans, immigrants, often have a much greater commitment to the ideals of America than the people who have been living here all of their lives, who in some ways take it for granted. So that's the hopeful, wonderful part of it. But it's heartbreaking too, because so many of the Americans who have been here for generations are disillusioned, jaded, cynical, feeling very angry and unsettled. And I think this is one of the most important July 4ths of my lifetime. I'm 65 years old. We're at an inflection point, and we need to really take this one seriously.
That reminds me of something that you've written, which is that in 2020, it is the year that we couldn't breathe, and that we sounds collective. Sounds like you're saying everyone can't breathe.
Yes, I wrote that piece in governing.com, and it's called The Year We Couldn't Breathe. And of course, it begins with George Floyd, 8 minutes and 46 seconds. But then I reflected that everyone who's been on a ventilator, and there have been tens of thousands, has also said, I can't breathe. And I think it's worse than that. I think as a civilization, as a nation, we're having a hard time breathing. We're hunched over. We're frightened. We're worried about what's about to come. The discourse is so poisonous in some respects that we just can't step back, take a deep breath, and enjoy the blessings of American liberty. And so I think we need to learn to breathe again, each of us individually and as friends and as couples and as culture. But we also, I think, need to remember that Jefferson, even though, you know, he's a highly imperfect human being, a slaveholder, among other things, he launched that sentence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And what I've been reflecting on this week is that if that didn't mean everything, then it meant nothing. You know, in other words, if it means white males of a certain property base, then it's a meaningless statement. If you say all human beings are created equal, at some point, you're going to have to step up to that ideal. And if you don't, you're just humbug.
I'm glad you brought up Jefferson, because you also embody Thomas Jefferson as an impersonator of him. It's another one of the reasons why you're somewhat famous around the country. Tell me more about, you know, what you're thinking about Jefferson, the man, during all of this. As you say, he was a slave owner. He also fathered children with women he enslaved.
Well, one woman, at least, Sally Hemings. I'm so disappointed in Jefferson. You know, when I started doing this a couple of decades ago, he was riding high, and he was almost regarded as an accidental slaveholder, and that was foolish. Now we know it's just the opposite end of the spectrum. That puts him into a very difficult position. He's a hypocrite and maybe a contemptible hypocrite. And there are people that just can't take him seriously anymore, because how could you say that? All human beings are created equal, and then buy and sell them and somehow learn to live with that whopping contradiction. So this is a period in which Jefferson is really on the ropes. And I take it very personally because I love him. But I think that that sentence is much, much, much greater than Thomas Jefferson. And we need his principles, even if we're going to give him a D minus or worse in his personal behavior. So we would, the biggest mistake we could make would be to jettison Jefferson and the Jeffersonian, just because we've now realized that he was a highly imperfect man.
Clay Jenkinson, historian and writer. His latest book is Bring Out Your Dead, The History and Literature of Epidemics, which I bring up because, Clay, you cover it all, don't you?
I have a very wide range. I do a number of characters, but Jefferson is very central, and we need him. He is the founding father, warts and all.
Clay Jenkinson, thank you so much.
Happy 4th of July, everyone.
And what does the 4th of July mean to you in this moment of national reckoning? We've been asking Americans from all backgrounds that question this week. Here's more of what we found.
My name is Davon Goodwin. I live in Laurinburg, North Carolina, and I'm currently a farmer and a food hub manager. I think for me, obviously being a combat veteran, on one end, freedom means protecting and serving this country is very honorable, and that, you know, I'm proud of my service. But then on the other end, being a young black male in America, it doesn't seem as free. It just doesn't feel good. To me, what it means to be American is you should be able to dream, and I don't think it's monolithic. I don't think you can just all look at yourselves as being American. Even though we all live in the same country, we all don't get the same opportunities in the same country. So until we get change, I think a lot of these meanings that we hold as Americans, they don't mean the same anymore. They don't have that, you know, that same feeling that we normally feel for 4th of July and this holiday weekend. I don't feel that way. This 4th of July, I will be probably working. My wife's an ER nurse, and so she deals with COVID patients. So we are a little nervous, but like I explained to everybody, just like when I was a soldier, what I signed up for, as a nurse, she signed up to serve, you know, and that no matter what, you know, that's your duty. Even though in these hard times, you know, we have to kind of be very mindful of where we go and what we do, but at the same time, we can't stop living. You know, I think the next 6 months will be definitely a defining point in America's history, with the 2020 election coming up. Depending on how these last police brutality cases, how they play out, that will be another defining point, how we go forward as Americans.
My name is Zohra Nasser. I'm 22, and I'm from India. Right now I live in Hyattsville, Maryland. I've been here for 4.5 years, and I'm here as a student first, but I'm also working as a medical scribe. As someone from India who's also Muslim, I've seen, when I was growing up, I actually saw girls, like, right after they graduated high school, they had to get married and they were never allowed to get an education and stuff. I never thought I would live like this right now in America alone. So for me, that is freedom to me, and being able to work towards my success without somebody dictating it. Although I do get I still am Indian, so my parents do have a little control over my life, but that's freedom to me. I still want to be a citizen, because a huge part of my life, I built it here. And I was able to actually do that because of the opportunities here. That's what I like about America. But at the same time, with all the racial injustice that we're witnessing right now, that is also a bit of a conflict, because if I ever have my own children here and things like that, I have to carefully think about different situations for them too. So I am conflicted on that, but I think here I would live a better life than I would live back home.
I'm Kent Stevenson, 33 years old, from Texas. I do dirt construction for a living. Freedom's freedom, and it's just like, I feel like everybody in the world's kind of lost the fact that, you know, freedom comes with opinions. We're all entitled to our opinions. And in our own way, our opinions are correct. And everybody's kind of like lost the fact that, you know, their neighbor's opinion is right in a way, even though you don't agree with it. Just everybody's kind of about biting back. That's just the biggest thing. It's, you know, we have freedom of speech. You know, you have people saying everything and doing everything from all over, and, you know, from riots and protests, and they're right in their way of it when you think of it from their side. And then you got the people defending it, and they're right from their side. It's like, we got to learn to find that compromise between ourselves, you know. I think as long as, you know, we all keep our faith in the right places, it's all going to come out and be right.
My name is Catalina Cruz. I am an assembly member in New York State representing Jackson Heights, Corona, and Elmhurst. I am also the first former Dreamer to ever get elected into the New York State Legislature. For me, being American is about privilege. Not only the privilege of being able to vote, but the privilege of not having to worry about being separated from my mom because we have a little piece of paper that guarantees us certain constitutional rights. My mother and I came from Colombia when I was 9 years old, and for a very long time, it was just her and I. Then my two sisters and my brother were born, and we also had this beautiful baby niece who's 2.5, and she represents everything we fought so hard for. The idea of having a future in the United States, of being able to have an education, of being able to work, that is what my baby niece represents. When I think of freedom, I think of what parents have given up to make sure that their kids can survive. And to me, that means the immigrant parents who fled countries of origin. To me, that means the Black and brown parents who are going out every day now to protest, to make sure that their kids don't have to endure what they've endured. To me, freedom means the ability to have those opportunities and to fight for them.
You can add your voice at hereandnow.org.